Well, being
north of Gnawbone, east of Peogie, and west of Bear Wallow. So now you know right where it's at, preacher. Amen. It's also 35 miles south of Indianapolis, if that helps you a little bit better. Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. I was going to apologize for not being able to sing, but after I heard the youth choir sing last night, and then the girls from the home sang, and then that singing tonight, I would probably have to apologize if I did sing. And so I've enjoyed all the good singing, and all the church been so kind, been a blessing to be here. I want you to look with me in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, for a few moments tonight. We'll read one verse from Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll also read a little bit from Joshua chapter number 2. I certainly enjoyed our brother preaching last night, helped my heart. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate your pastor and his friendship and his kindness. And I've had a lot of advice about how to get rid of my cold. And I don't mind that. I'm up for about anything. Amen. I think I'm slowly on the mend, so I thank the Lord for that. Hebrews 11 starts out, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." I don't think that report has to do with their report card. I think it has to do with their report of God, what they knew about the Lord. We have a lot of wonderful people here in this chapter, and I say wonderful people, they were people like us. They did unusual things by faith. It wasn't because they were unusual, it was because their God was an unusual God. That's the same God that I serve. Amen. When we come to, there is a woman mentioned here that I want us to spend a few moments on in verse 31. I want us to think about her for a little while. I like to call this, when I preach from Hebrews 11, faith of our fathers. But I'm going to have to change that a little bit. Because here is a lady, excuse me, in verse 31. And the Bible says this: "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Now I want us to go back for a moment to Joshua in the second chapter and read a little bit what Joshua has to say about what the Hebrew writer has mentioned in Hebrews 11. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They are at the edge of the promised land. The city of Jericho is in their way. The Bible says in Joshua 2, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' They went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords, and as soon as they were pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For ye have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed.'" Can I just stop there and say this? Does it amaze you that God would put a whole nation, stop a whole nation on the shores of the Red Sea, and then part that Red Sea so one little harlot woman could hear about it and get saved? That's how much God loves sinners.
Verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be within the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. I want to preach a little while tonight on faith, and I want to call this message tonight, the about face of faith. The about face of faith. And I want to remind you tonight that faith cancels out. Now somebody will say, preacher, what are you talking about? The about face of faith. I would say this to you. The Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Paul said this in the Corinthians. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He warned us in the book of Romans that we were not to walk henceforth as the Gentiles walk. He tells us in Romans we're to put on the new man. Now here's what I'm saying to you. When you have exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be an about face in your life. You will not walk where you used to walk. You will not live like you used to live. You will not talk like you used to talk. If you have been born again by faith, there has been and will continue to be an about face in your life. We have a woman here by the name of Rahab. I want us to see her about face, and I want us to see in this verse in Hebrews 11 how faith canceled out some things in her life. There are three things we could look at. We won't have time to look at all of them. I'll mention them to you and then we'll zero in on the middle one. Let me say to you, first of all, that faith canceled out her past. The Bible says, the harlot Rahab. Now that interests me. Doesn't say Rahab the harlot. It says the harlot Rahab. So what it put first in her life was her wickedness, her immorality, and her ungodliness. That's what she was known for. That's what her life was all about. She had a wicked past. If you ever studied out Rahab's name, her name has to do with pride. So I'm looking at her and I'm thinking to myself, she had been an insolent woman, walking in pride. And because she walked in pride, she became an idolatrous woman. Because that's where pride leads you, to worship self rather than God. And the third step is the natural next step in the consequence. Insolence, idolatry, and immorality is always the next step after you get there. If you'll read the book of Jude, the Bible said there were some filthy dreamers, it's called, who despise dominion and speak evil of dignity. When you fight against godly authority and what God says is right and wrong, the end result is always an immoral life. It's So here's a woman who's lived an immoral life, the harlot Rahab. But you know as well as I do, because you've read your Bible, that when you get to Matthew chapter 1, in the lineage of the Lord Jesus, we do not find the word harlot mentioned. I don't have time to preach on this, because if I do, I'll get off yonder somewhere and never get down to where I'm headed. But I just want to say to you, once you're in Christ, the harlot name and title is gone. And such, the Bible said, and such were some of you. I am not what I used to be. Saved by grace. So I would say that faith canceled out her past. I would also mention to you in the last part of this verse that faith canceled out her partnerships. Now notice the last part of the verse says, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I don't know who those two spies were that came in. Some believe they were certain men. I don't know who they were. But I'm thinking about a harlot and what kind of men she would be associated with. Do you think a harlot is associated with men who care about her? Do you think a harlot is associated with men who want what's best for her? Do you think a harlot is associated with men who want her to have a happy life, who want her to be fulfilled, who want her to live long? Do you think that's the kind of men she would be running around with? No, she'd be running around with men who won't use her. They didn't care about how she felt. They didn't care about her health. They didn't care about her happiness. They didn't care about her joy. She was a thing, an object to be used. But after she put her faith in God, she started hanging around with a different kind of man. She started hanging around with a man named Joshua. You know what Joshua did? He kept his word and made sure those spies kept their word. I wonder how many times that harlot girl had been lied to by some wicked man. But when she got right with God, she started hanging around with a man you could trust. You could take him at his word. I tell you, it's wonderful. Somebody said, well, there's a lot of problems in the church. There may be. But this is still the greatest crowd you'll ever run with and that you'll ever find in the world. And the Lord Jesus will always keep his word. So she had a man she could trust his word. There was another man that she hung around with. His name was Salmon. And he married her. And they raised a boy. I don't know how all that went about, but the Bible said she married Salmon and dwelleth in Israel unto this day. So here is a man, first of all, that saved her life, kept his word, Joshua. Then she found a man that wanted to share her life, Salmon. But then she was also associated with another man back in Matthew chapter 1. The God man. The man Christ who substituted his life for her life. Now that's love right there. Now, I'm just saying to you, she made an about face and faith canceled some things out. But here's what I want to preach for just a moment. In the first part of verse 31, faith canceled out her past. In the last part of verse 31, faith canceled out her partnerships. But in the middle of verse 31, watch this little phrase, perished not with them that believe not. You know what faith did? Faith canceled out her perishing. You see, Rahab was a sinner. Like you and I were born sinners. You say, well, preacher, I've never been a harlot. You're still born a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may have never indulged in immorality, but you are still a sinner. Born in sin. Here is a woman who was born in sin. And sin always has a price tag attached to it. I want you to think about the perishing of this woman. First of all, I want you to consider with me that she was perishing by sinfulness, and that is a slow perishing. You remember when Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem and went down to Moab? They left Bethlehem, Judah. They went to Moab to sojourn. You remember in the book of Ruth? And how long were they gone? 10 years. And when they came back, The whole city was moved about to greet them. Of course, Elimelech did not come back and the boys didn't come back, but Naomi came back. The whole city was moved about to greet them. And the whole city said, "Is this Naomi?" You see, she bore the marks of 10 years of perishing outside the will of God. You say, "Well, preacher, sin won't show up on me." Oh, it shows up on your countenance. It shows up. It shows up in the way you live and the way you talk. Sin always leaves a mark. It always leaves a scar. When you're not right with God, it is obvious in the life if you don't walk with Jesus. Here is a woman, she is perishing slowly. She may not notice her perishing. She may not be able to say to you, "You know, I'm dying in sin." She may not even be aware of it. But sin is killing her. Just like sin always kills. It always steals. It always perverts. It always pollutes. It always ruins and destroys. I thought about the disappointment of sin. The disappointment of sin. You see, Solomon, and the Song of Solomon said, in Ecclesiastes, he said, "I'm going to try it all." He said, "I'm going to try it all." And when he tried it all, he said, "I'm going to try pleasure." And here's what he said it was. His vanity. There was no joy in it. I was listening to someone the other day telling about this business of meth and taking this drug called meth. And he said this. He said, "The first time you take it, you're hooked." And then he said, "The first time you take it is the best it feels. And it never feels that way again." That's the way sin is. It'll tease you and trap you and you'll get in it, but it'll never satisfy you. It'll never make you feel as though you have found what life is living for. She was involved in a slow perishing. The disappointment of sin and then the disgrace of sin. I wonder what people said about her. I wonder what they thought about her. I remember that woman coming to Jacob's well in John chapter 4, and she came in the heat of the day. Why did she do that? Why did she come when no one comes to the well? Because she didn't want to see anybody. She didn't want to meet anybody. See, you say, "Now, preacher, I'm not ashamed of my sin." You will be when somebody finds out about it. So I'm not ashamed of what I've done or where I've been. No, because you have it covered and you have it hidden if you've never faced up to it. But when it ever comes out, it'll be a disgrace. I see that woman in John 4 coming out there. She's coming out there. She didn't want to meet anybody. Jesus sees her. He said, go call the husband. She said, "I don't have one." He said, "You told the truth there. That you have five husbands. The one you have now is not your own." You know why she's there in the middle of the day? She didn't want to have to explain herself. She's ashamed of the way she's living. Here is the harlot Rahab. No doubt there was disgrace involved. And then no doubt there would be disease involved. Sooner or later. See, you reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sow to his flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. The Bible talked in Romans 1 about them receiving what they'd done in their bodies. What's he talking about? He's talking about how sin wastes away the body. That boy said about his brother, the prodigal, he's wasted his substance. First he said he wasted his substance. Then he said he wasted it with riotous living. He's wasted it with harlots. That immoral lifestyle that he had been living had wasted him away. I went one time, I was visiting with a preacher. He wanted me to make a visit in the hospital. He said, "I'm just warning you, it's not going to be pretty." I said, "Okay." So we went in and here was a man. He might have been as tall as I am, but he was skin and bone. And he laid on the bed and he shook. And his head would flop over here. And when his head flopped over here, drool would come out of his mouth. And then his head would flop over here and drool would come out of this side of his mouth. And he was all yellow all over. Even the whites of his eyes were yellow. And we tried to talk to him and he would, his head would flop over and drool would come out and he'd shake on that bed. And I said, "Preacher, what in the world is wrong with him?" He said, "He's dying of liver disease. He's drank until it's ate up his liver." And he said, "He's dying of it." And he said, "I've not been able to lead him to Christ." And he said, "When I come in, I try to talk to him, but I can't seem to get through." He said, "I was hoping to today. One more opportunity to talk to him. You see, sin will always demand a payment in your body. She was perishing by sinfulness. That's a slow perishing. But she was about to perish by the sword. And that is a swift perishing. See, God had said to Abraham, back Abram then, back in Genesis 15, he said, I want you to drive the inhabitants out of that land. He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. He was implying that there would come a time when their iniquity would be full, and as a nation, they were beyond redemption. And when it got there, they were all going to die under judgment. Sometimes we want to make ourselves God. And we want to say, well, Lord, it's not fair for children to die, and it's not fair for this one to die and all this sort of stuff. But I'm telling you, if you have seen what sin has done in families, everywhere we look, children are suffering, not because they did wrong, but because mom and daddy did wrong. Because mama decided she didn't want to live right, and daddy decided he didn't want to live right. And I read in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel balked at the plan of God at Kadesh Barnea, God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness, tell everybody above the years of 20 or the age of 20 is going to die. And then he said this, terrible words, he said, thy children shall bear thine whoredoms. See, sin never stays where you think it's going to stay. You think it'll go this far and it'll be done, but it's going to go beyond that. She was about to perish by the sword. Now, they didn't expect the sword. They thought they were shut up in their city. They could not escape the sword. If we'd have taken the time, we didn't take the time, but if we had, we would have read the scripture where when they marched around, the walls fell flat. And the Bible said they took the sword, and everyone in the city they put to the sword, except for Rahab and her family in the house. There was no exemption from the sword except by grace. So we have a woman, she is perishing by sinfulness. She's about to perish by the sword. One is a slow perishing, one is a sudden perishing, but there's a third perishing. She is about to perish by separation. You see, if Rahab had not been saved, she would have died and went to hell. That's the second death perishing. I know this is Jubilee, I understand that. But we are living in a day today when people do not want to believe in hell. Yet the Bible says in Luke 16, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. There is a second death. There is a hell. You say, preacher, are you happy about it? No, I'm not happy about it. But God said there's a hell. When I get to heaven, I'll understand it like God understands it. But until then, I am fearful that people are dying without Christ and they're going to spend an eternity in hell. There is a hell. Where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Revelation 20 said, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation 21, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a hell. And Rahab was headed there. But God canceled it out by faith. You know, for 23 years of my life, I was headed straight for hell.
But on March the 10th of 1980 at about 11 o'clock on a Saturday night at 110 North Forest Street in Wayland, Michigan, in the northernmost bedroom of the house, after hearing that old-time independent fundamental Bible-believing preacher, after seeing him point his finger at me and say, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. If you don't get right, you're going to die and go to hell. I got under such conviction, I went forward and got baptized. I thought that's going to straighten me out. I went down a dry sinner and came up a wet sinner. It didn't help me one bit. I knew I was going to hell. I knew I was lost. And that night about 11 o'clock, I told my wife I was saved. I'd made a profession, but I'd never had a possession. And I looked over at her and I said, honey, I'm lost. I'm dying. I'm going to go to hell. If I don't do something, I'm going to go straight to hell. The devil said, well, if you tell her you're lost, she'll never believe you again. She'll think you're a liar. You know what she said to me? She said, I'm lost too. What are we going to do? I said, you know what that preacher said? I remember that preacher saying, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, let's do what that preacher said. And there on our bed, by faith, we called on Christ and he canceled out our reservation for hell. Gave us a reservation for heaven. Now let me say this and I'll be done here in just a moment. What was it kept her from perishing in sin? They said, take the scarlet cord and hang it in the window. It's a picture of Christ. Its hue reminds us of Christ. It was red. It looked bloody. It looked as though blood streaming down out of the house of Rahab. I'll tell you, on March the 10th of 1980, I got washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got saved, my sins washed away, never to be remembered against me anymore. You say, well, preacher, I'll go to church. I'll do better. I'll try and live better. No, the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's in Titus. In Ephesians, Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You have to get saved by grace. You have to put your faith in Christ. You have to come as a sinner and put your faith in what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. And if you will, God will not turn you away. He said, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's hue, that blood, it's hue speaks of Christ. It's hanging speaks of Christ. What'd she do with that cord? She hung it between heaven and earth. That's what happened to Jesus. They hung him on a cross between heaven and earth. And earth. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I understand we sometimes use that to say if you exalt Christ, it'll draw people. And I'm sure that's an application of that. But the primary application is if he's lifted up on the cross between heaven and earth, then people can get saved because of the blood that he shed on the cross. He died for our sins. And I think it's hiding speaks of Christ. So what do you mean, preacher, it's hiding? Well, I'm trying to figure this out. I got a pretty good imagination. The cord is hanging outside. Rahab's living inside. It's on the outside of the wall. The destroyer can see it. She's on the inside of the wall. She can't always see it. So what she has to do is she has to go through her daily life just believing that the destroyer will see the blood. And you know, that's what we have to do in our Christian life. You see, the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And so as I go through my daily life, living for God, trying to live for God, I don't go trying to get myself in. I'm already in. I don't go trying to get myself saved. I go because I want to please him and because I love him. But always, no matter what it looks like on the inside, no matter what situation's going on, no matter how difficult things, always I know that the destroyer has his eye on that scarlet cord, on that blood. And I'm safe because that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, safe and secure. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now you know what happened with Rahab. She married a man named Salmon. Joshua chapter 6 said she dwelleth in Israel unto this day. According to the book of Ruth and the genealogy, Rahab and Salmon had a son named Boaz, according to the genealogy. Here's what a turnaround God made in this woman's life. A woman who had lived the life of a harlot raised a boy. And one day he walked out in a field and saw a girl unprotected and alone and said to her, "Have I not charged the young men not to touch thee?" You see, there is a complete turnaround in the life of a person who trusts Christ as their Savior and gets involved in faith. Amen. Are you saved tonight? Or are you perishing? Say, "Well, I'm getting along all right." Those people in that city thought they're getting along all right. They thought those walls would keep the destroyer out, but those walls could not stop the judgment of God. And whatever wall you've put up to hide yourself behind cannot stop the judgment of God. Your only hope tonight is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have, I want to tell you, that scarlet thread, that blood is still effective. It's always going to be effective. And we won't ever have to worry about going to hell again. I am hell proof tonight because of the blood of Christ. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.